5 past 1, that means it must be well in. 5 minutes in to the Ricky Gervais Show.
With Steve Merchant.
Yeah, he's here as well.
Yep.
Well, we've got some great tunes lined up, haven't
we?
We've got Eminem, we've got Coldplay, Oasis, we've got De La Soul, Chemical Brothers, Dr. Dre, Garbage, R.E.M., The Manics, we've got Muse, we've got Feeder, we've got some classic.
I mean,
you've
said all those names, Rick, but the chances of us actually playing all of those are quite slim.
We might not get to them if we talk too much.
And obviously, we'll obviously drop a couple of those to play our own tracks as well.
Yeah. Well, they are our own tracks.
Yeah.
You know.
Well, I'm not gonna get into that now.
Right. Here's Eminem. Now, even though that sort of record is you know, relatively recent, and it's, you know, it's quite hardcore, what's going on about, you know, subject matter that is adult, really.
Certainly.
And it's quite aggressive and it's cool and everything. But he still managed to make it sound like a novelty record.
It is, yeah.
Do you know what I mean? It's like a little single. I know that's the intention, and that's good. But I mean, I think it's nice that he's got a nice little tune. It could be like a little cartoon figure. Here comes Flumpy McMump.
But the irony is, isn't there like a video you can get now, which is a cartoon Slim Shady, The Adventures of Slim Shady?
Really?
Because I know there was The Adventures of MC Hammer, the cartoon animated series, which sadly I never got to see. And New Kids on the Block, I think.
The cartoon went a bit mad and started, you know, spending a lot of money.
Yeah, exactly. You know, MC Hammer now apparently he's like, he tours on the kind of religious music scene.
Does he?
Yeah, he's gone sort of.
Well, wasn't he always at a preacher or something, or started in gospel or something?
Was he?
Yeah, I think so. Because he used to,
I don't know, I mean, I just assumed he was quite, he's off the streets.
He used to keep a lot of Bibles in his big trousers.
Yeah.
So he could go around giving it to poor people.
Yeah.
Well, apart from the great music we've got lined up, Steve, we've got obviously our regular features.
Sure.
We've got my classic film review.
Always looking forward to
that. That's already getting a little bit of, you know, attention.
From who?
Wow, just various people.
Go on, name some.
Well, I can't name them by name or just.
Yeah.
Oh, God, what's that one? Oh, Scorsese.
Right.
You want me to talk about one of his films?
Okay, good.
Yeah.
You going to talk about one of his today?
Yeah. Well, no.
Wait, what we've got
Spielberg.
Right.
Going to do a Spielberg film.
Okay.
We've got, That Film Sounds Good.
Yeah.
Now, that's not my film review. That's where I take a track off a soundtrack of a classic film.
Yes.
And it's a great track, and I go, oh, that film sounds good.
Brilliant.
So.
Yeah.
Because it sounds good. You see what I mean?
But please don't be confused and think that that's the film review.
No.
I hate people to think that.
No,
that's what I wouldn't want.
Yeah, We've got Song for the Lovers. We've got Song for the Ladies.
Yeah, I'm going to be playing a hip hop track.
It's called the hip hop track.
It's called, Steve says, Hip Hop Hooray.
Hip Hop Hooray.
That's not bad, is it?
Oh, it's just brilliant.
Come on.
If there's anyone listening, like, you know, Saatchi & Saatchi or McCann Erickson or, you know, those people that do advertising, then we are the people.
We're the people, man.
We can market.
We'll market anything. Maybe you're a 2-bit band. You want to email in or something, you know, and just say, how can we publicise our music?
Yeah.
Well, I mean,
if we were marketing, say, a band, we wouldn't say, this is a 2-bit band. That'd be wrong. We'd say this is a brilliant band. They're going, excellent. I like it when it's always the same reviews. It's sort of like,
Mark Goodyear, inevitably.
They go, the excellent single by Coldplay, Yellow. He goes, oh, Yellow, that's Yellow by Coldplay.
Exactly, yeah.
Why do they do the bit that says Yellow? We said it. Just to show it. Like, I want to see something else in the song, maybe. Maybe the mid-late.
Yeah, it would always be the brand new excellent album from Travis featuring the hit single Sing. Sing, sing, sing. That's the brand new album from Travis. It features 12 other new tracks and Sing. Sing, sing. Brilliant. Well done.
Actually, I'd buy it.
No, I would.
That's all the features we've got, isn't it?
That's all the stuff we lined up. We were probably going to, I don't know, probably rabbit on about other stuff.
Yeah.
Carl, unless I'm very much mistaken, we've got something to give away, is that right? The K-Man's with us, of course, pressing the button.
Yeah.
KP.
You all right, mate?
K-Man.
Yeah. Pilkington. Can I just say there's nothing funny about that name? Straight away, seriously.
Let's clear that up straight away.
You know,
the idea that people are laughing.
So in school, they'd go through the register, Anderson, they'd go through Camfield.
Sturgis.
Well, no, it wouldn't go to Sturgis yet, would it?
Oh, she wouldn't be there, would she?
Well, no, P's before S, isn't it?
No, she just wouldn't be at school.
She'd be out
too busy in rehab.
Pilkington. Okay, settle down. There's nothing funny about Pilkington.
What's up with it?
It's Pilkington. Pilkington.
Yeah.
Sounds a bit like Plonker.
Yeah, or Pilchard.
Yeah.
So anyway, we've got tickets for
I don't think anyone's ever mocked the name before. I think we're the first ones to do it.
Oh, we're brilliant, we are.
I don't think people up north figured that out, that it was a funny name.
Well, it probably isn't up there, is it? Because they've all got names like Ramsbottom.
Wilkinson, Pilkington.
Piddle Trent Hyde. Oscar Piddle Trent Hyde, what are you doing? You're late.
Anyway, Gervais.
Well, all right. Okay.
No,
that's an exotic name.
It's a bit French.
He pays your wages. Blimey, here he comes. Having a go at the star of the show.
Yeah.
Blimey.
Yeah. Do you want to play a record and get back to it? Shinobi versus Dragon Ninja. That's what I like about sort of rock and roll. It just, you know, sings tells a story about everyday things yeah. you know about. You
Shinobi
know.
Versus Dragon
yeah,
Ninja.
Yeah,
was there any reference to Shinobi or the Dragon Ninja in the song?
I wasn't listening.
I wasn't really paying attention, but I'm assuming that some of that screaming was about Shinobi and the Dragon. I don't know who won. If anyone knows who won out of the Shinobi and the Dragon Ninja.
Or maybe it's like a trilogy. Maybe they sort of get together in one, then the second single, there's the fight.
Right,
like
sure.
the mid-thing in the film. Because I don't know about film structure, because I do a film review.
Yeah, sure, sure.
And then the final one is, you know, the
two of them pairing up against maybe a larger villain. A
oh,
Godzilla type.
Maybe. That's interesting.
I don't know. I mean, who knows? Who knows?
Okay, well, no, they do. Lost Prophets.
Were
they
listening?
I haven't written it yet.
Are the Lost Prophets English? Are they British? What's the deal? Who are the Prophets?
Pilks.
Who's the Profs?
Pilkey.
Yeah, I think they are, yeah.
Yeah. What was the answer? What was that? Are they English or American?
I'd say they're American.
Do you have a guess? Why didn't you just say, I don't know? So trying to fool us. KP again, trying to deceive us. KP, you were going to tell us, Pilkey, you were going to tell us, Pilchard, you were going to tell us what...
What tickets are anyway?
But it worked for me, you see, because when I was younger, yeah. I had a mobile disco.
Brilliant, so did I.
And it was me and my mate, Colin Makin, and the disco was called Pilkey's Making Music.
That's brilliant. I mean, genuinely brilliant. Pilk is making music.
Guess what? When I first started the mobile disco, and this was when I was about 14, we didn't really go out touring, we just would do it for like people's parties and stuff. We were called the Rock and Roll DJs.
No, really?
We drew it on some sort of see-through paper and put a light behind it. Rock and Roll DJs.
My first disco, I had two nights a week in this pub.
What, you ran a disco?
Yeah, this pub near King's Cross, right? And it was just their records, right? And I had to play a number of songs every time, the same time. So all the locals, all drunk, were dancing and everything. One of them was American Pie by Don McLean,
right.
And they just sing along all the words, yeah. Sort of drunk.
And it's about 7 minutes long.
Yeah. The other one was Baby Jane by Rod Stewart.
Nice.
If I didn't play that, I'd get lynched. And what was the other one? There was another one that I always had to play. It was a ballad. I have to remember that. But yeah.
Carl, do you think, and maybe Ricky as well, do you think you know much about DJing for, like, you know, the sort of, the wedding party or maybe someone's 18th? Oh, really?
Mm.
Okay, let me just offer a little hypothesis for
go
you
then.
All right, the buffet's been served, right?
Yeah.
People have done some speeches,
yeah.
Like it's a wedding do.
Yeah.
So you've already played some records early on, you've stopped for food,
yeah.
You've just played some light backing music in the background while the food's been served. You want to get the party rocking again, what do you kick off with?
It depends. I've already got it down to two or three records.
Okay, I'd like to hear what they are.
Well, I've got it down to Earth, Wind and Fire.
Right.
That'd be great, you know, if there's, you know, depending on, or, you want to go a bit modern, I'd probably start off with sort of Will Smith.
Well, careful, Rick, I've got to bear in mind, it is a wedding do, so there's people from age 8 to 80. You got cable
right.
Every market.
Okay.
Carl, what about you?
See, this was back in 88, so...
Yeah.
Kylie.
Yeah.
Can I tell you what the definitive track is?
Go on.
Oh, What a Night, Frankie Valli and the Four Seasons. Ding, ding, ding. People don't realise what it is exactly. It's straight away. Ding, ding, ding. Bow, down, 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 down. I can't actually play it, but,
record,
oh, What a Night. Late December, back in 60s. That leads you straight into a 70s medley, and everyone's loving that. I'm thinking Bee Gees. There's going to probably be some kind of ABBA track, Dancing Queen, all going to storm. You're turning your noses up. I can tell you this, that we got bookings endless. People were going, you're amazing. I don't know how you do it.
I wouldn't have got up. I would have sat there.
Well, you might be, because you're one of those grouchy, you're one of those moody teenagers. Oh, I'm not going to dance to this. I'll tell you, the old ladies would have been up. The people with a decent bit of musical taste would be up.
No, the Ricky first Gervais person to get up is a fat lady in a dress with bad ankles and a little kid who's got problems and he's in a little DJ.
See, the problem with you two is you're not catering to the market. You're trying to be all sort of bohemian and kind of off, you know, teach people about music and stuff. There's no place for Kylie, not at a mobile disco. Far too avant-garde.
All the way back to 1999. When was it? 2000?
I think it was. No, 99.
Was it?
No, was it?
About that.
I didn't realise so many people were fans of the Lost Prophets. Everyone's been phoning in, emailing in to learn us they were from Cardiff.
Yeah. Oh. Welsh band. Now, are you going to tell us what tickets you've got, Carl? What have we got to give away?
Tickets for...
Now, we kept the secret. We said, no, tell us on air, so it's a big surprise. This is going to be... It's going to be really rubbish, is it? This, whatever these tickets are, right, is a testament to how much they rate us here at XFM, how much they rate our show and care about us. What tickets have we got to give away? A top show featuring Ricky Gervais and Steve Merchant and Pilkington. What tickets have we got to give away?
Tickets for K-Fest.
Right, go on.
What's that?
It's like a rock thing that's going on tonight.
Right.
If you're into that Welsh...
Right, well, name some of the bands.
Niall.
Go on.
Right.
That's one of the bigger ones. Mark Lanigan.
Who?
Not Lanners. Is Lanners playing? He's not really.
Yeah.
Mark Lanigan really playing there?
I think so.
God, who is that?
What?
Who's that?
Who is Lanigan? Is he someone you went to school with? Who is Mark Lanigan? Who else is
there? Who is Mark Lanigan? Is he the promoter? Who is he? Is he head
security? Is he in a pub in Camden?
You got Niall.
We're giving away tickets to the K-Fest.
Hold on, let's have a look. This is the enemy. Mark Lanigan, Masters of Reality. Right, okay. Who else? We got Niall, we got Mark Lanigan.
Niall?
Who else?
I can't pronounce this one.
Oh, let's have a look. That's good.
Bethlehem or something?
Bethlehem?
Behemoth.
Behemoth?
Behemoth, is it?
Let me see. God, no one can read. I expect it from a northerner, but not from a university educated man like you.
Oh,
they?
Yeah.
Let me have a look. Where are we now? I can't even find it on the page. Here we are. Yeah.
Anyway.
Behemoth. Yeah, Behemoth open proceedings.
But hold on, I just thought of something. We're not really giving those away, are we? Surely we're asking some sort of financial reward for them. Right, okay, right. Is there a competition
or something? Let's just... South Carolina Death Metalers, Niall.
Okay, all right, okay.
At the K-Fest.
Yeah, no, K-Fest, we've got a pair of tickets to give away?
Yeah.
Okay, if you want to go to K-Fest, it's the Mean Fiddler, Charing Cross Road, and that's tonight, is it?
Mm-hmm.
The tickets would be £7.50, but we're giving away for free.
Why don't we say we're giving away for a fiver?
No.
That's still a saving.
But I'll tell you what, if you can call in, what's the number?
08-700-800-123.
Yeah, and the question is, because they're quite sought after, there's big names here, like Niall and what's his name?
Lanigan.
Lanigan's on. The question is, who wants to go?
Yeah.
So if you can call in and answer that question, who wants to go to that, then you could be one of the lucky winners. Right. After this, some great chat and music.
Could you also explain who Mark Lanigan is?
De La Soul, watch out. Well, we're wrong. The lines went mental.
It's amazing, isn't it?
So that they, and they knew all about them and where they were from, what they were like, and the tickets.
Death metal's just something that's, it's obviously passed me by, but it's obviously huge.
It is huge. It's sort of huge without being sort of in the public eye. Yeah. Famous, I think it's probably the only real alternative out there now, isn't it? Because everything else is sort of mainstream. There's no real alternative music,
even hip hop.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, Slipnot kind of have snuck in, haven't they? Because they album went to number one or something.
Yeah, yeah.
Incredible.
It still gets people saying, you know, son of mine.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, well, you're probably not. You're probably a daughter or something. Yeah, I can't remember. Yeah.
Some people who phone up about the heavy metal, though, they always sound such nice people.
Yeah.
The women always sound attractive. You know, if you meet them, though, they're like 8 foot tall.
I don't know
if
we suddenly sound like two old ladies on a bus. And you know what? I spoke to one of them rappers, and he was as nice as pie. Helped with the shopping and everything. I thought he was going to kill me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I am 27 years old now, Rick. 28, yeah. According to Carl.
Yeah.
Talking of my birthday, you know, it was my birthday a couple of weeks back.
Yeah.
And we were talking about the stuff that my dad had given me, his presents in the past. And anyway, my sister told me that he'd listened to some of it on the car driving up, and he was quite upset, and he hadn't mentioned
it. Oh, really?
Yeah.
Yeah, but it was all affectionate.
It was done with affection, but it was like, we were slagging off his gifts, which were awful.
I know.
Yeah.
He's probably listening again.
Well, possibly.
That happened to me once. I remember, telling a story on XFM, and I'll tell you the story. You've heard it, but I'll tell you. What it was, I used to live in just a little one room sort of bedsit with my girlfriend, sort of it was sort of like 80s or whatever. And it was just awful. It was one room, and we had a bed, and it's sort of like the kitchen was the bedroom. So our bed,
kitchen was the bedroom.
Yeah, it was the bed in there, and then like a it was just one room we had. That's all we could afford. Yeah, you know, you're sleeping in bed. Your head was by the fridge, and the sink was by your feet, and you had to go out and down the stairs to a communal toilet. So I'm a man. I could just pop out of bed on tiptoes. The sink was quite high, and have a little wee in the middle of the night. So put him a cloak, wouldn't it? That's fine.
Into the sink, not the fridge.
Into the sink, yeah. So that was fine. And sometimes I'd just hear Jane go, oh, at least run the tap afterwards. And I'd go, all right, run the tap, right? And I just remember once going, at least take the dishes out first. Because I used to sort of lift, if it was just full of dishes, I used to lift them up and sort of like aim underneath it, and then, but it was quite hygienic. It was, you know, right? But
what do you mean it was quite hygienic?
Well, I was
in
tired.
What world is it quite
I was tired and drunk, and it was just a horrible place. And we had mice.
You urinate quite a lot, don't you? You have a problem with urination after lots.
Well, I worry about getting caught. Like on a tube, I have to, I don't take tubes anymore.
Well, I listen to my dad's advice is never pass a toilet and not use it, because you never know when you might have to use one again.
That is exactly mine,
You might not see one for a long time.
Oh, but anyway, sorry. What I was going to say was, Jane's mum was listening.
What's that story? When he told that story?
And I said, Ricky's story, that sort of story about weeing in the sink. As you went, no. He makes an awful lot up. Yeah, that's what we have to say. No, I was joking. You know, I didn't mean it. So, you know, I think I got away with it. Although her mum did watch me every time I went out to the kitchen when I was at her house. You're right, yeah, just go to... Right,
do you want a corned beef sandwich? No. Yes. If so, just I'll have it on
the
newspaper.
Toilet's over there, Ricky. Yeah. I know. The toilet's over there. Okay. All right. Well, yeah. By the way, urinating isn't bad. It's a good thing. It's getting, you know...
No, obviously it's good I'm not saying the urination's a bad thing. I wasn't damning the fact that you needed to urinate. It was the fact you were doing it in the sink.
With dishes, you probably...
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
But, you know, see, the thing is, in you know, there are some societies where if you urinate on something, you sort of own that thing.
What society is
that? Cats, for example. Cats. Right. So, I mean, you know, cats are, you know, enigmatic creatures, aren't they? Mysterious creatures. I mean, so if I, you know, I own a lot of things through that.
Right.
Sinks, telephone boxes.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Lots of fences.
My shoes.
Your shoes once, When I was chasing you around Robin's shoes once. Yeah.
You'd be all right around, jellyfish. Because, apparently...
Is this a band that's playing tonight? It is a band, isn't it, actually?
It was, I think.
They're on that K-Fest.
Yeah.
No, if you get stung by a jellyfish, wee stops it hurting.
Is that true? Mm. Just for anyone listening, I mean, it's probably best to check that maybe on the internet or phone a doctor before you try that. I mean, because Carl has got a lot of useful information, he's not a medically trained man.
Yeah, because I got in trouble once coming out of the sea at Bognor, running around, people going, wee on me, please.
Yeah.
Please wee on me. Just running around.
Got laughing, but.
Yeah. But, have you ever wet the bed?
I honestly haven't.
I've never wet the bed. Never wet the bed.
Never.
Okay, let's play a record then.
Are we doing a bit of
Are you've wet the bed, have you?
Wow, not as such.
Well, you may as well tell us.
Well, yes then.
Well, is there a story attached?
Well, I remember once, right?
God. Well, was this when you were a child?
Sort of.
How old?
26.
Okay.
And oh, God. Oh, it's another story involving... Anyway, right, once...
Just wasn't a sink handy.
Oh, God.
Come on, Gervais.
Well, once I went to stay, went down to Brighton with Jane for a party, her sister's party, and we were staying at her parents' house, her parents were away, and first of all, I got too drunk. I don't think I'd known her very long, might have been. And I remember... It was a fancy dress party, and I didn't go as fancy dress, but I remember laying on the floor trying to trip people over because I was so drunk.
That's one thing that's hilarious if you're drunk.
Yeah, imagine Jane going, oh, that's my boyfriend, I'm so proud to all her family. And then we got a cab, I remember I got a cab journey home to her that I didn't remember, and apparently the cab driver going, is he all right? Because I was going, I'm sick, Jane. She's going, yeah, he's fine. Then I laid on the bathroom floor, and Jane timed it. It was 45 minutes of me singing Right By Your Side by the Eurythmics. And then I went to bed, and apparently, I got up in the middle of the night, walked around the bed, and just thought the bed was a toilet. And Jane said, Ricky! I went, what? She went, you're pissing on me. I went, well, you don't need to wake me up. And then just got back to bed.
You urinated on the bed.
All right,
Bit of hip-hop.
Oh, man, alive. Hip-hop hooray!
Hip-hop hooray!
Oh, it's the opportunity where Steve gets to play one of his classic hip-hop tracks, something maybe you've not heard before, Rick.
Can I just say, I actually slightly regret telling a story about me weeing.
Yeah, well, it doesn't stop there, I'm sure there's more. I'm sure you've told me more in the past.
All right, just get on with the hip-hop track.
This is from, I need to just introduce it briefly, it's from an artist called Mad Skills, who on this record claims that he has written loads of other people's songs, which I think is true. The only thing I would say is that the names of the artists he's supposedly written for have been bleeped out, but of course, because it's also a radio-friendly version, all the swearing's been bleeped out as well, so there's a lot of bleeping, but if you can piece it together from it, it will actually be quite a good song. Go on.
I'm gonna actually...
No, don't! You don't own it by urinating on it!
Yeah, I am.
No, you...
Yeah.
Put it away.
Makes me look like some sort of mad old urinator.
No, you just can't handle your drink. You can't handle your drink.
Now I can. I just get rid of it in the usual way of excretion via the kidneys, down the urethra, out the end, down the sink. Sometimes a sink, sometimes a toilet, Carl.
Sometimes a bed.
Yeah.
Or your girlfriend.
You know, it just, embarrassing things. I remember once, right? I used to love nature when I was about 8, 9, 10. Yeah. And I remember going out with my sister and my brother and their girlfriend and boyfriend, like to become their husband and wife.
And thanks for that.
Yeah, you know, just keeping continuity there.
Yeah, yeah.
I used to get shells and things on the beach, and I used to get anything. I love nature. And I love reptiles as well, and I found this perfect snake skin. A grass snake or an adder, and it was I couldn't believe my luck, and I was going look, and they were going okay, put it down, because I realised they were a little bit scared of it. They're going, put it down, it's dirty, and of course I torture them a little bit, and then I thought it was hilarious, and they made me leave it there, and I told mum and everything, and then much later when I had some friends when I was about 14 or 15, I was telling this story to embarrass my sister, and I was going yeah, and she was scared of it, and she went, well, it was a used Johnny. She'd waited that long to embarrass me in front of my friends.
God.
I'd been running round with a used Durex, thinking that this is great because they were scared of snakes. And they were going, put it down, it's dirty. No, be careful of the poison.
Oh.
Yeah.
That's horrible.
It is horrible, isn't it? Have I gone too far again?
How could you not realise it was made of rubber, for goodness sake? Well, you obviously didn't know anything about nature. I used to love nature, me.
Yeah,
the difference between some skin and rubber Johnny.
Now, be careful of the Johnny snake.
Yeah.
Their little poppy head and their poison. Oh, dear.
I always remember there's this kid who lived near me once, and this bird got run over, and he rushed it. He said, I can save it, and he kissed it. Because he thought he could give it the kiss of life.
I thought you meant it was a girl.
No.
It got run over.
And he kissed it. he thought he could give it the kiss of life, but he didn't know what the kiss of life was. He just thought you could kiss something and that would bring it back to life.
I think it was an excuse. I think he was thinking, I can't wait for a bird to get run over, then I can pretend to be giving it the kiss of life, but really, I'm giving it a nice little snog on the beak.
I remember he kissed it like that and threw it up like it would fly, like it would fly away, and it just went vroom onto the floor.
Oh, was it dead or?
Yeah, it was blood everywhere. It was horrible.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
And that, what is he doing now?
He presents at Animal Hospital. No, I don't know what he's doing. But,
the worst vet in the world got struck off. Well, sleeping with all his patients. Oh, that's terrible. Mm. Oh, bless him. I killed a fish once.
Go on.
Well, I made a little bow and arrow. I was about 8 or 9, and I made a bow and arrow. And, you know, you never think. We had a pond, and there was a huge fish in it, about, 8 inches long, a huge big sort of, like, golden orf or something, or a carp or something. And I was sort of playing, and I aimed, and I shot it, and it went straight through it and floated to the top, and I thought, oh, my God.
You pierced a fish with an arrow? That's an amazing shot.
Well, it was luck. It was pure luck.
You're a Native American.
Yeah. You know those little things outside, in the front garden by the front gate, a little sort of 4 inches by 4 inches bit of metal, you lift it up and it's sort of like where the drains are if the plumbers need to get there or the council or anything like that.
Right.
I dropped it down there and I thought, oh my God, what if that's discovered? What if I have to drain? So I ran loads and loads of journeys in and out of my house, right to the toilet and back, just taking out handfuls of vim and pouring bleach down, thinking that I can get rid of this fish before the council dig it up in 10 years' time and go, send him to jail.
Yes.
Fish aside.
But who do you think, what do you think they would have done? They'd have taken the dead fish, they've gone to each of the doors going, is this your fish?
Yeah, but I was 8. You don't think...
Do you recognise either the arrow or the fish?
Yes, it's arrow straight through it. But, you know, you don't think when you're 8 that it'd be okay. If I can ride this out till I'm 20, the statute of limitations on goldfish murder, is about, I can't work it out, 12 years.
Wow.
So that
was... killer. Yeah. Carl, anything embarrassing ever happened to you ever?
With what? With animals and
stuff? Could be animals.
I don't like animals, to be honest.
So do I. It was a mistake.
No, you know, I thought you were feeling bad about the fish.
Yeah.
But really, you were more worried about you being locked up.
Well, I felt bad. There's both the law and the moral side of fish death. I mean, we kill fish all the time. Just not usually with a bow and arrow in a back garden in Whitley. You know, often the supermarket can lend a hand with that.
I used to sell mackerel.
Did you?
Yeah. I had a pet magpie.
Did you?
Called Maggie.
Inventive. Pet magpie? You mean you captured it and didn't let it go away?
Yeah.
Can't have a pet magpie.
But then it got really vicious. I mean...
Let me go. What did you keep it in? A rabbit hutch?
No, it flew around, but it used to just, like, come to me all the time. But then it started pecking me head and stuff.
That's not a pet magpie. That's a bird in the garden.
No, no, but I could actually, I could hold it and stuff. It wasn't scared of me, and it knew it was me. It used to come down from like the top.
It hated you. That's why it wanted to pick you. Is that?
And the other thing. I always remember being younger and like walking through the woods to school with my mum, and like, I was chasing the butterfly, and she said, oh, don't do that, Carl. And I said, why? She said, because they only live a day. I said, oh, all right, I'll get a dead one in the morning.
That's genius.
That's great. That's quick thinking, isn't it?
Oh, that's sweet. We're talking about embarrassing stories and stuff, and I don't know if I've told this on the radio before. Have I told you, Carl? I'm not sure. But this was when I was working at the BBC. This is not even long ago, and I'd moved to London, and I was fairly new in London. And I was working at the BBC, and I had this BBC hire car. And I've never told it. If there's anyone listening who works for the BBC, I don't know if I can still get in trouble for it. But this BBC hire car, and it was like I'd been ferrying kind of actors and people and production people around all day in this car. And I was driving back, it was quite late, it was about sort of 7 or 8. And I was driving back, and I pulled in to get some petrol to fill up the car every day. And I went into this garage to fill up some petrol, and I was there. And these blokes, two blokes, came in a white van, right? They pulled into the forecourt, and I was filling up the car, and they went, "Hey, do you want to buy a couple of speakers?" And I said, "Yes, I do."
Yeah.
Because I'll tell you the reason. It was like I was so flattered that they thought I'd be the kind of bloke who would A, need some kind of classy speakers, and B, would like to buy them on the sly. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I thought, yeah, they like the
fact they've seen me. They've seen I look a bit of a hustler.
Exactly.
Yeah. I'm a street sort of guy. You can see by the way I use my walk.
Exactly. Yeah. So I couldn't believe my luck. So they drove behind the garage, the little sort of garage bit at the back, and I went around there, sort of casually went around there, sort of locked the car, went around there. He went, yeah, he opened the back, he had these speakers in there. I said, are you sure these aren't knocked off, mate? He went, no. We work for Dixons. This is a story he spun me. We work for Dixons, right, and we're delivery men, and if we make a delivery and the person's not there to sign for the goods, then we have to bring them back to the warehouse. But if we can sell them on the way back...
Yeah.
Then that's really good for Dixons.
Dixons must love that.
And instead of thinking, are you sure some kind of troubleshooter didn't... I mean, did someone go into Dixons and go, yeah, you're not getting in the garage forecourt market?
John Harvey Jones.
Exactly.
Get a couple of lads in a white van.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So anyway, so I sort of bought this story, and I was a little bit dubious, and I went, right, let me hear them then. And he wired them up to the car stereo, and boom, 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 they were playing. So it was some groovy hip-hop. I was thinking, great, these guys know what I'm into.
Yeah.
And he's giving me the talk and stuff. And, I said, I'm a bit worried these are knocked off. He went, no. Listen, we got a bloke at Dixon's who can confirm this is fine, right? Phone him up, use my mobile, right? And quote this reference number, right? So I phone up, and the bloke goes, yeah. I go, hi, some guy's here in a garage forecourt trying to sell me some speakers. Just wanted to check. He went, it's fine. I went, should I just read the reference number or whatever? He went, if you want. And X14, and I'm like, yes, fine.
Yeah.
Okay.
You know that was, don't you? That was actually Mr. Dixon himself.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So I'm thinking, well, you know, they sound great. They're giving me for a knockdown price. I'd say they were like 400 quid. They were like 200 quid or something. It was a good bargain. I was in the market for some speakers as well.
Yeah.
So while they were loading
it's
them in...
It's all kosher. I phoned Dixon's.
Exactly. Dixon's. Yeah, that's fine.
Yeah.
So while they're loading them in the back of the BBC hire car, right, I'm in there paying for the petrol, right, and the guy serving goes, "Ee." Oh, you're right. He goes, what were you doing around the back with those blokes? Right? Because obviously there's security cameras filming this whole transaction, right? And he goes, what are you doing around the back? And I went, brilliantly, I went, there's some old mates. Some of my mates were just having a chat and that. He went, oh, right, okay. Like, give me obviously the evil eye. So I went back to the back. So I'm in the car now and I'm driving with one of the blokes who's in the van with me because I didn't have the money on me. So I had to go to the cash point to get the cash, right? So I'm driving with him and the other guy's following me in the van. And he was like a northerner like you and he's giving it all right, yeah, you know. I tell him, my girlfriend's a DJ. She's got some of these speakers. They're fantastic, da da da. And he's giving me this. And then my mind starts working. Now that I've got a bit of time to think, I'm thinking, wait a minute. This all sounds a bit dodgy.
Yeah.
It dawned on me, Rick.
You know, fool, are you? You're streetwise.
Exactly.
You're streetwise, Steve.
Not only that, I was thinking, how am I going to get them home? I've got to drop the car off at the BBC. How am I going to get these huge speakers back to where I live?
And how can I pay for them? Because I've just spent £100 on Find the Lady.
Exactly.
With a couple of blokes in the square. Yeah. It seemed like a fair game. Some of his friends were winning.
But so I explained to him, I said, how I can't get them back to like Brixton where I was living at the time. He went, don't worry, give us an extra 20 quid, we'll take them home for you.
Oh, that's good. Delivery. They do a whole service, you see. And there's also a backup guarantee. Did they have the guarantee, the 3-month guarantee?
They didn't.
No.
But so I said, I'm not sure about that. He went, well, why don't you put them in a cab, send them back, and your housemates can collect it? I was like, oh, no, there'd be no one in. And I was beginning to sort of get a bit conscious of, like, maybe this was a bit of a scam, after all. So I pulled into, like, a little side road, and I said, I'm not sure I'm into this now, actually. He went, what are you talking about? It's 200 quid for a pair of speakers. It's a bargain. You never get a bargain like this, mate. I'm going, not too sure, actually. I don't think I want them. He went, 150 quid, 150 quid, mate, 150 quid. I went, no. He said, 100 quid, 100 quid now to you. And I'm thinking, thinking, wait a minute, this doesn't sound like the kind of work that Dixon's would be doing.
Dixon's don't do that when I go
in. This is it.
Dixon's never negotiate in that way.
When I go, they'll look around and I leave. They go, where are you going?
Exactly.
I go, we'll have anything then. Have anything for a
quid. So I stopped the car and the white van pulled up behind me with his mates in.
Sure.
And I said, can you get him out? I'm not interested. And he went, oh, 100 quid, mate. Oh, you, and he was just going, you tosser, you obviously want some speakers. And he was having a go at me. So I was carrying the speakers out and putting them back in the white van. And he was just shouting at me. He was going, 70 quid, 70 quid, mate. I was like, 70 quid from 200? This is ludicrous.
You realise that wasn't Dixon's policy then?
Exactly.
They don't usually shout you tosser as you leave the leave the shop and walk down Camden High Street. They're not usually shouting you tosser.
You should have took the offer of, like, the monthly payments they've got on at the moment.
So I eventually I put them in there and I sort of knocked the deal on the head and I got back in my car and they were in theirs and I just looked in the rearview mirror and they were punching the dashboard like with aggression and venom like we let that deal slip through our fingers and I've never been so terrified in my life. I just sat there and I was just thinking, oh my God, all I was thinking now is what if I go back to the BBC and they go, we've had a call from the police, the man at the garage, he saw you doing a dodgy deal.
I love it. Yeah. Well, what you do is you put the hire car in a drain in your front garden and then go in and out of the toilet just pouring bleach down or Ajax and they never know. Well, you've got a song for the ladies coming up.
Song for the ladies later on
as well. That has set, you know, the standard there.
Well, absolutely, yeah. Were you going to do a film review as well later? Have you still got that?
I could do a film review now because it's quite a big.
I thought you needed to prepare, but
no, it's quite a big film, and I've seen it, and it is, you know, it's a great film. So okay. I hope I can do it justice because it's a very okay. Oh, this week,
what film is it going to be?
It's going to be Schindler's List.
Okay, and are you going to do a jingle for us?
Rookie's film review.
Okay.
This is a film by Steven Spielberg.
Yes.
And because it's in olden times, it's all black and white and that, except a coat that's red. I don't know what happened there. Anyway, it's about a bloke who's called Schindler. And because there were so many people we wanted to save, he had to make a list to get organised. And he tried to save as many as he could. And that, you know, he made him sort of not make the bullets properly on purpose because he, you know, in the end, they gave him a ring. It's the same bloke who made E.T.
Okay, your review of Schindler's List.
Yeah.
And as ever, mark out of 10, please.
9. It was brilliant.
You really enjoyed it.
Yeah.
Okay. Did the fact that it was 3 hours long bother you?
No.
No. Quite like that. Okay.
Watch some of it on fast forward.
Okay. Carl, have you seen Schindler's List?
No, I'm surprised they managed to get all that in 3 hours.
Amazing, isn't it? Would that encourage you to see the film?
Definitely.
Yeah. Okay, what would you give it a mark out of 10?
9.
You'd give it 9 as well? Okay, I'll tell you,
that red coat effect thing you're going about. That's sold it.
You like that,
Yeah.
Well, that was just a mistake, apparently.
Apparently, probably just couldn't get all the colour out of it.
As I said before, if you've got a film that you'd like to have reviewed by Ricky Gervais, then email us, ricky.gervais@xfm.co.uk, and I'm sure he can,
Or even the, not just, like, the people, but what about the ones who make the films? Like, you know, the ones that actually make the film, what are they called? Hollywood?
Yes.
If they want me to do one for that coming out to sort of give it a little bit of a boost. Yeah. You saw me give away the tickets, that was selling.
Yeah.
So, you know, we can sell your product and we make it look like it's all editorial, but really, if there's a little bit of money involved, I can probably give it a 9 out of 10 instead of 4 or something.
Would you do that without having seen the film?
Yeah.
That's fine, because they could just tell you what was coming up. And then
if they said, give us a good review and here's 20 quid,
yeah.
If they go, there's no money in it, I'll probably give it a bad review.
Well, let's just try that. Rick, can I just try that? Because I mean, a lot of people listening won't be necessarily convinced. Lord of the Rings, let's imagine I've paid you now to review the forthcoming film, Lord of the Rings. What do you make of it?
This is a brilliant film.
Yep.
And even though it's all about wizards and that, and there's people in caves called gonads, with beards, probably Robbie Coltrane's in it, because he's in the other one at the moment. And it's all swords and stuff, and there's some magic, but it is actually the Lord of the Rings, not just like, you know, just one of them, he's the Lord of it, and he's excellent in it.
So, right, mark out of 10?
9.
Again, very popular film for you. Carl? Less convinced by that one, maybe.
That doesn't sound as good as the other one.
Yeah, what are you going to give it, 7?
Still give it 9.
You still give it 9.
Excellent, because we split the money.
Okay.
Excellent.
Good.
What do you think of that?
I'm not a fan of Muse, but I wasn't quite as venomous in my hatred.
Don't worry, we won't play that again.
Let's explain the situation in the studio. There's a certain frosty air now because we ended up playing Muse.
Yeah.
It was a mistake.
Yeah.
But it's not that bad.
Well, no, it's not as bad as Ricky thinks it. I admit it's not as bad as that, but I'm standing out of it. Because I'm not a fan of Muse, I wouldn't play Muse generally.
Well, I mind Muse generally, but I hate
What, you like Muse normally? I hate Muse.
Well, I don't hate them.
Says the man who bought the Like Funky Ones album.
Well, yeah, but I wouldn't play them on XFM.
I know, but Muse fits in. I mean, you're saying you want to play Radiohead.
So playing a Nina, like doing a Nina Simone. Why don't we play Radiohead then? That's what I was saying.
We're playing Radiohead, but Muse is like Radiohead. There's not a big difference. Anyway, we're not going to argue.
There is a big difference. Phone in if you... What's the difference between Muse and Radiohead? What's the phone number?
What do you mean, what's the difference?
Well, let's have a competition. Let's see if people can tell the difference between Muse and Radiohead. Give the number out.
Can't be bothered.
Nor can I.
So it's left to me to keep the thing afloat.
Yeah.
That's never good news. I went to see the White Stripes this week, good. If anyone's interested. Anyone interested in that?
Go on, Steve.
White Stripes are absolutely amazing. I've heard all the hype. You know, I've not listened to the album. I went along to the gig, got a free ticket. Wasn't even a pound off, it was free, £10. I could have sold it outside the gig, I went in, right? Couldn't take along a mate, XFM wouldn't let me. Went there on my own, you know, went in there, I had to say, I wasn't expecting much, they were amazing. They were absolutely amazing. I have to say this now, they were the best band I'd seen who were, like, I didn't know much about or whatever, like, a new band. They were the best band I'd seen live since I saw a little band you might have heard of called Oasis for £5 at Coventry Poly.
Yeah? Well, yeah. That's a long name for a band.
It was amazing, and it's a brilliant band because it's just the two of them. Obviously, the girl on the drums, the guy playing the guitar. He's got a real kind of rock guitar skill. He really plays it up and down the long neck bit. I mean, I know all about the music and that, the terminology.
Yeah.
He was amazing.
Yeah.
Sometimes he plays like kind of steel with that steel pedal thing on his not steel pedal, the finger thing, the kind of thimble thing that some guitarists wear. I believe it's called a guitar thimble. I believe is the name for it. And he plays that like old bluesman would play. He plays that sometimes.
Old bluesman.
Somebody's got, like, a little electric keyboard thing, or piano, as I believe some people call it.
See, and this isn't a review, this is listing the instruments.
all right, there's not many to get through, Rick. There's some drums and the guitar.
What colour microphones were they?
I'm glad you asked.
Were they SM58s?
Anyway, the point is this.
Go on.
With just those few simple instruments, they had this huge sound, a big, rocky sound, quality, kind of bluesy punk with a little bit of an edge into it. It was amazing, I have to say, I was a huge fan. And so I thought we could play a bit of White Stripes, you know, to sort of commemorate that excellent gig.
I saw a band once, right? There was a drummer, had all the drums, big one at the bottom. Two of the diddlums ones, cymbals.
Yeah.
They were all mic'd up with different micropoles coming down the loudy speaks. I was at the back, it was still, wow, I can hear everything on that. Electrical, really. And a guitar. And a bass.
Can I do a gig review every week, like you do your film review?
Good, yeah. Well, you just did.
Well, I'm about as well informed about music as you are about films.
Anyway, tell me how do you choose the playlist? Feeder, Just Today. Now, because we're running out of time, because of that Muse shit we had to play, I think I'll say that's my feature. That PlayStation game sounds good.
Right.
Because that's the main music of the PlayStation 2 game, Gran Turismo.
Right.
So I could incorporate that.
Brilliant.
Yeah, and I've still got to get in a song for the you've got to get in song for the ladies at the end. Got anything else lined up?
Well, I mean, it's just that I've never seen you spiral into such despair after hearing Muse. I mean, well, fair enough, is that they're not a great band.
Well, obviously, we have to, you know, there's a bit of a playlist we have to keep to, and we drop the records we don't like, right, and play the ones we do, and that's fine. And if I don't care for a track, I don't mention it, I don't usually slag off bands, and I know we've got to keep to a playlist, I don't know how they're chosen or anything, but, you know, there's one thing I didn't want to play, it's Feeling Good.
Yeah.
And it was already lined up and there was no time, so I was genuinely annoyed. Because I don't mind, like, playing stuff that I wouldn't actually choose myself, that's alright. But, you know, we're not completely free played all the time. So the worst thing is, I don't want to ever play Feeling Good again, I don't want to ever play Kashin again.
Kashin is.
I'm thinking of putting a ban on Gorillaz. What, anything you like to ban?
Basement Jacks.
Where's your head at? We dropped that on purpose, didn't we? What else have we dropped today? That's what we saved people from. Do you know what I mean?
Mm.
But playing five songs over and over again just because some record company wants it to be played. If I'm gonna play things I hate, pay me. You know what I mean? I'm willing to take bribes. Look, I've been sent some chocolates here by the lads out of Carter USM. Right?
Are they still going?
Yeah, they got a gig at the Who's the Daddy Now tour. Right? They're playing the Astoria. December the 14th.
Oh my god, it's worth going along just to see how few people will be there.
Well, see, I wouldn't use play, but they've sent me chocolate, so there's a plug. It's like, you know, bribe me, not XFM.
Yeah.
Alright? Let's get some out of this, Steve.
Okay.
Alright?
Yeah, I'm not sure even I'd sink so low as to be bribed by Carter. I mean, I'm a man who tried to buy dodgy speakers on the street.
Steve, it's a Christmas, Father Christmas with some jelly beans.
Is that from, who's that from?
That's from the lads, oh well, it's Who's the Daddy Now tour.
Okay.
And I've got, some, chocolate money.
Right, lovely.
Yeah. Some of it French.
Got anything there from the Senseless Things? Or the Wonder stuff?
No, but, you know, we don't know. They know what they're doing now.
Yeah.
Carter was all right at the time. Yeah. Carter was all right.
Carter?
Yeah.
Right.
Do you like Carter?
Not really, no. It's nonsense.
Well, I didn't like him singing about Dagenham all the time, whatever it was. No, where was it?
New Cross, yeah.
But, you know, some
good.
Funny lyrics.
Anything else you want to get off your chest?
Let's play some songs we like. What have you got lined up?
I've got the song for the ladies, that's coming up in a second.
Oh, lovely.
It's been a roller coaster ride of emotions, this show.
Yeah.
It started off, there were some light-hearted anecdotes about you and animals.
Yeah.
It ended up with you sort of spiralling into despair.
Wow, you know.
That's what
a track by Muse can do to a man.
Yeah, well, clearly.
You know, did I ever react?
But then maybe, well, I mean, maybe that's what makes them good. I mean, if music can, you know, create those kind of passions in someone, maybe that's effective, I don't know.
Well, you've made me think again, I love Muse.
It's the punk approach, I suppose.
Yeah.
Anyway, Carl, thanks as ever for pressing the buttons and contributing.
Yeah.
Good job. Shame about the Muse.
he won't be getting a 9 for his movie next week.
Won't be getting a 9.
I think you guys should kiss and make up, maybe naked.
Oh, well, that's not Carl's fault.
Go and kiss him.
No, I'm not going to kiss
him.
But go and touch him. I'm not going to kiss
him.
Go and touch him. I'm going to touch him.
Go and touch him. Should we go both go and touch him?
Yes.
Why don't we play a song for the ladies? This week, Drugstore, White Magic for Lovers, beautiful track. And let's just go and kiss and touch Carl.